I like being mindful about being mindless. I'm cheap. All about being full for less. I'm a heap of it, a meatball, valuable or not, mostly not. I mentally gobble it all. You tell me, why shouldn't I? It's a drug, but also food, for the mind through the eye. Too much information, you say, a flood I allow with a fingertip, soaking all the imagination to rot and turn grey. It's a massive shop where I pawn that little piece of me, digging I don't know what yet. Promise the riches of abundant knowledge in anonymity. In little time, I've seen the world, witnessed the best and the worst of humanity. I'm fed up with thousands and no word. I'll do nothing of it, will not fret. Make myself an accomplice of the billion of people on and off the internet. Inter-misconnected.
I forgot to mention that, right, has two collections for sale, one for 15, one for 12, the Savage Solitude for 15, and the coming
Pagan to the Core
for 12.
And I might do it in the
She's willing to negotiate as well. She's had her first one. She's married her first class of that wine, so. Next up to read is Donal.
Customer.
They're selling their hotcakes. Get in there quick. Donal Maloney. Short section of a longer story. I read the first few parts of it last year sometime. And there's not much of the backstory you need. It's basically a guy who's recently separated, and he's going to play a cricket game, and he goes to pick up his son, who's going to watch him play the game. And he finds out that the guy his wife left him for is going to be playing for the opposition on the day of the game later. So that's the basic story. So this is the drive into the game with his son. There's silence in the car at first, which is the way it usually goes. We're still getting used to our altered roles, Alex and me, and it takes us a while to get going. When I ask him a few questions about school, he's not interested, so I let it drop and turn the radio back on. Play starts at Headingley and Peterson gets out second ball. This disappoints me more than it should. Fingers already on the dial, Alex asks if he can change station. I ask him what he wants to listen to, and he says music. As he searches the channels, I take in his haircut, a kind of short Mohican like the one Kevin Prince Boateng has. It's a bold style for an 11-year-old. I ask him if he's looking for anything in particular. Just music, he says. We run into traffic. I left early, so there's no rush. All the same, Alex is fiddling with the radio, is grating on me. He listens to the end of the song and waits for the next one. If he doesn't like it, he keeps looking until he finds what he likes. I've never been one for music, and by rights I can't judge these things, but the only connection I can hear between the songs is that they're all shrill. Who sings that one, I ask. He shrugs his shoulders. Will you have 11, he asks after a while. You never know, I say. Ever since I asked Alex if he wanted to come to this game, I've been hoping we wouldn't have a full team and that he would fill in. He's obviously had the same idea. All things considered, I put the chances of fewer than 11 regulars turning up at about 40%. My phone peeps. Want me to read it for you, offers Alex. No thanks. It's Sunday. Our day. Whoever it is can wait. By the way, Steve, a batter or a bowler? Bowler. Right arm, medium pace. Any good? After a pause, Alex nods. Hard to judge which way the ball will go. The traffic is barely moving. I consider the question of how Aisling and Steve met. I've never asked Aisling. I know that Steve is a pub musician, and I always imagine a meeting at a gig on one of Aisling's nights out from work. Now there was the possibility that their meeting was cricket-related. Aisling has zero interest in any team sports and never once watched me play, but she did accompany me to a fundraising quiz last year. Could they have met there? Is it even theoretically possible for romance to spark in a pub full of cricketers and general knowledge? Eventually the sea appears. The tide is out and the sand looks like wet grey cardboard. Spindly-legged birds poke around. Have you played much, I ask. Alex narrows his eyes at me, as if he hasn't understood. I could leave it there, but I can't help myself. I mean, have you played cricket with Steve often? Alex looks out the window. Today's 50-over match is the highlight of our cricketing calendar. What's more, it suits my game. It's my only chance to build an innings, the only time when resilience is duly rewarded. Taverner's rules don't apply, and I won't have to declare a 20. Batsmen have to watch out for LBW, which is something I scrupulously do anyway. In short, it's the closest we Taverners get to proper cricket. And yet, in spite of all this, I consider turning the car around and driving home. The song on the radio ends. Alex searches for another. It plays for 20 seconds and ends. I reach down and switch off the radio. Mum asked me to go out with him, Alex says.
Next is Charles.
Quite sure. Let's go. Top two. 3-1. Look, this is hanging around quite a while. It's called the Norfolk Tour. I point out that a distant relation of mine used to run something called the London Chapter of the Irish Jordan Society. And they were in the habit of meeting up well. The Norfolk Tour of the Irish Jordan Society London Chapter and the Vintage Rolls Royce Club of Great Britain. What a wheeze. What a jape. Oiling round Norfolk in Rolls Royces. To clunch the gravel at Great Hookham and so on. To glimpse rooms not open to the public. Noble Dame at her orisons in the private chapel. A cousin hidden in a boy's bedroom. Through landscapes by inevitability brown, to pass on the way to hear Wyndham Ketton Creamer expound at Pembroke Hall. I must take my hat off to you, Brian, but I'm half glad to have missed that one. My mother's country houses were long past. In this elevated sphere, could it have been, let's put it, an ornamental bridge too far for me.
Oh, what a life. Excellent. Patricia Walsh.
Thanks, Stephen. This is called All Waxing Wings. The sadness and staleness of his boring streets. Of a boring city, falls and rises never before, keeping lamplights flickering and the godhead asleep, since no tractors will pull us from where we live. Nothing alive, not a bit to talk about, not a word to anyone. The soul feels lost and desert from our creator while we sleep. Turning and tossing the same old melodies, same old songs, to stamp out the cliché I fear we have uncovered. Sadness hasn't killed my friend. It's a safer pleasure, I realise, as the dawn that opens the curtains is next to know. If you're leaving now, you know, the whole lot of me will understand, but not even sadness will stop me crying. As you turn and get your way outside, I guess it's all that's everlasting. Coming from us, separate people, separate angels, falling in different space.
Next is Ben Kingston, and he's been accompanied by William Blake.
I'm going to start with the one from Blake. It's called Why Was Cupid a Boy? Why was Cupid a boy, and why a boy was he? He should have been a girl, for oft that I could see. For he shoots with his bow, and the girl shoots with her eye. And they both are merry and glad, and laugh when we do cry. And to make Cupid a boy was the Cupid girl's mocking plan. For a boy cannot interpret the thing till he is become a man. And then he is so pierced with cares and wounded with arrowy smarts that the whole business of his life is to pick out the heads of the darts. 'Twas the Greeks' love of war turned love into a boy and woman into a statue of stone, and away fled every joy. This is mine. It has no title. It's bricky, is it not, that we shall see the blue lines running through the carpet like a storm to lead up to the fireplace. It's summer, no furious flame. Summer in Ireland, so it's a bit cold regardless. But we look into the imagined burning coals, eyesight weakening to a point of vision choked by smoke and aged purple mold.
That was very well done. Thanks. And for the Blake. Well done, Blake. We have one left on the list. If there's anybody else who has something. No? Any call? Paul Casey, maybe? No? No? Well, if not, we'll have Rab to close it off.
How much time have I got?
Enough?
30 seconds.
No!
I find I was talking, like, I'm discussing with Freddie about what we should, what I should do. Anyway. Time in a broken bottle. I heard it, I saw it on the news, of Yugoslavs with separate views of fighting famine and degradation and of starving, falling to pieces nations. And who is it with their fingers in these pies, covering the world with their tissues of lies? A lament for Bosnia-Herzegovina, a lament for suffering in the Ukraine and in Serbia. The ways of the world, they come right down to greed, as practiced by people of an insular creed. Protecting their wealth is their only endeavour, by marriage and incest with birds of the same feather. And what about us common folk caught in the middle? Where is our hope, our joy, our fiddle? How can we set out these dances of sorrow while working and wishing for a bright new tomorrow? Because the power of money and the power of arms have been turned against us to do us all harm. We must trust none of these soldiers and none of these banks, whose mission on earth is the preservation of rank. And then we must realise that there is no blame, that goodness and evil are one and the same, and that organised religion is the face of the slaver working against us in our honest endeavour. And last, we must look for the God in ourselves, because God is in us. God's not in chapel or verse. And when deep down in your own heart you meet up with your soul, you want civil rights and equality wherever you go. Thank you.
You're okay.